Now let's read the Word of God. This book, this prophecy, has seemed to be a follow-up to the book of Jonah. There's about 50 years between what happened in the days of the prophet Jonah, when he went there and cried against the wickedness of the city and saw that marvelous turning to the Lord. The whole city moved in such a fashion as it was. It's incredible that just 50 years later, another prophet has to write words like this. And if you go on to read the short book, especially into chapter 2 and into chapter 3, you'll see the wickedness of this place again. That these people are so far departed from God that judgment now is looming. It reminds us that we need to be so careful. A short period of time can bring great apostasy and departure from God. And it happened here. But it's a verse of encouragement that we will look at, and we will read down to our text. Our text is verse 7, but we'll read from the opening verse. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkosite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, and of great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. And that's our text. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Let's ask God's help. Father, we come to the message and this marvelous text that has great application for us. We pray that there will be given to us the great teacher, the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside us in meetings like this to help us, to minister to us, to speak to our hearts, to apply the Word of God. And Lord, we confess that without him, we're nothing, and this message will accomplish nothing. But if the Lord comes and he takes the truths of his word and teaches us by the power and ministry of the Spirit, then much will be accomplished today. And Lord, our hearts will be blessed and we will be comforted. And Lord, it is a text of consolation for the believing people of God. Speak to us now. Give me the help that I need to bring the word for Jesus' sake. Amen. The day of trouble. How many can identify with this little line of scripture today? I look across this congregation, a congregation that is very near and dear to my heart, and I think of the families here. I think of the many troubles and trials that we have faced throughout the years, indeed. And your experience has been that of John Newton, who wrote the marvelous hymn Amazing Grace, and in that hymn he speaks about the many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. How many in this congregation today are in the day of trouble? Right now, it is not just a past experience, it is a present reality. Look at the prayer list. We've mentioned our sister Jane having to be admitted seriously ill in the hospital on Thursday night. Our beloved John, our elder, esteemed elder in this congregation, receiving a diagnosis that he didn't expect in this past week. Brother Nat Story still in hospital. And Madge coming through all that she's come through. Brother Nigel is with us today. It's good to see him. Tommy's parents, aged and infirmed. Sammy and Ellen McConaughey. And think of others that we know. Brother Bill Woods, our sister Kim Wagner. We've mentioned what happened in the Owen family there in Boston. And dozens more besides. Those floods that have come into Kenya, to that area where our missionaries are laboring in West Pokot. The displaced families, the lives that have been lost. Our missionaries trying in the midst of it all to give some kind of ministry. This little line, the day of trouble, occurs 10 times in the scripture. The similar phrase, the time of trouble, occurs another 8 times in God's word. And twice we have the day of adversity. So at least 20 times we are reminded by God of such times. And there are many other similar phrases reminding us of tribulation, trial, and trouble, which so often crosses our path. And it's good to ponder these phrases of God's word. It's good to see the circumstances in which they are written, the providence of God at work. It's good to see how the Lord gives grace to help in times of need, and the provision that a loving God administers to his people. For example, turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. We'll look at some of these phrases in passing. 2 Kings 19 and verse 3, where we have a day of trouble mentioned. There's a threat from the Assyrian army, just to fill you in a little bit on the context here. King Hezekiah, he goes to the house of God to pray in the midst of this great trouble. And he sent men of God to the prophet Isaiah with an urgent message and request to pray. And so in verse 3, they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth and there is not strength to bring forth. And then you'll find in these opening verses how the request is sent to the prophet. Will you pray for us? It's a day of trouble. It's a day of great need. This army with all its threats going to invade Israel, going to storm into the capital city of Jerusalem. Turn over to the Psalm 50 and mark verse 15. Here's a gracious invitation in the midst of such a time. And a great promise. Call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So the invitation is to pray, is to call upon God in that time of trouble that you find yourself in. And the wonderful promise is, I will deliver thee. Zephaniah and the chapter 1 and verse 15. And I just pause here for a moment to say, in this case, it's a word for sinners. Whereas the majority of the phrases point to God's people, here's a phrase that is very relevant to the unconverted. It's the day of the wrath of God, the day when the Lord returns again. We've prayed about this already in the opening prayer. A comforting day for God's people who will be received by the Lord, but a day of vengeance. when God's wrath will be poured out upon this world. And that's the day of trouble that is mentioned here by the prophet Zephaniah in verse 15 of the opening chapter. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I commend the surrounding verses for you to read and to ponder. And my friends, if you're not saved, there's coming a day of trouble for you, an awful day of trouble when Jesus comes back again. And you need to make sure you're right with God and ready for that day so that it will not be the day of trouble to you. Psalm 27, we have mention again of this particular day. Psalm 27 is a great, familiar, encouraging psalm, and we have it in verse 5. Here we are told about the hiding place that we have in God. And as we read the text, I just say, as you see the hiding place here, learn to run there. For in the time of trouble, there's the phrase again, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And you see here the pavilion, the tabernacle, and the rock being mentioned, all speaking of the same person, all speaking of the same refuge for us, the place where we are to run to in the day of trouble. Here is one that we have that we can come to and hide in. Psalm 41 and verse 1. This is a text that has been a blessing and a challenge to me personally. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him. When? In the time of trouble. The time of trouble will come. And special deliverance has been promised to those who have had consideration and sought to those that are poor. One other reference, an important one, in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, both experiences come our way. It's a fact of life. So in the day of prosperity, we have to say there have been many such days, we rejoice when things go well with us. We accept the time of blessing and we delight in it. And oh, God graciously gives us good days to enjoy. And we remind ourselves that we don't deserve one of them. Not the least. Not the least of all the mercies of God do we deserve. And yet he gives to us so much blessing and so much prosperity. But the day of adversity, as this text speaks about, also overtakes our path. And we enter into some kind of dark experience. Some of these experiences are very, very personal. And they mainly affect ourselves as individuals. And we carry the burden. And we go through the dark time in a very individual sense. Some of them affect the family. And it's a great burden that's carried within the family. Some are church-related. Others are more widespread in the community, even in the nation. It's the day of adversity. And it will come. And what do we do? Well, according here to Solomon, we consider. We consider. That just means to look at it carefully. To ponder it over in your mind. Consider why God sends it and how we can be comforted in the midst of it. We can't always tell why the day of adversity comes. There's always a reason. But sometimes we just don't know. We fail to understand what's going on. We fail to interpret. But one day all things will be plain. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And that text reminds me that there's much of what we see in this earth as we look out that we don't fully understand. It's a mist. It's a kind of a cloud before us. There's a darkness. But there's coming a day that we shall see so clearly, it'll be face to face. Our text in Nahum 1 and verse 7 gives tremendous comfort in the dark experiences of life. We're brought to see God in the midst of the problem, His character, His attributes, His power and glory, indeed His sovereignty in the midst of it all. And that's why I want to speak just for a little time in this text, God and the believer in the day of trouble. We notice, first of all, the goodness of God. And it's simply in the opening line where it says, the Lord is good. The Lord God Jehovah is essentially good in and of Himself. Our Lord's goodness is one of the most frequently mentioned of the divine attributes in Scripture. Goodness is first a description of God's essential character. It just simply means God of Himself is good. He is not evil in any way. He does not love sin. He hates sin. Indeed, He cannot even be tempted with evil, as James 1 and verse 13 reminds us. God reveals His goodness in His kindness towards His creation. There is a goodness that affects everyone, all people on the earth. We sometimes talk about common grace, that grace that is common to all people that live in this world, all people on this earth. God shows His benevolence towards all men. Like the giving of rain, it descends upon the just and the unjust, as Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Indeed, the psalmist declared, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord in Psalm 33 verse 5. He wrote in the Psalm 145 verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. It is this kindness and consideration that should bring men to repentance. As the apostle writing to the church at Rome in Romans 2 and 4 says, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The fact that God is good, the fact that He has displayed this goodness even to sinners, ought to lead them to repentance and to faith in Him. But God has a special love for His own dear people, those who are called in grace, washed and redeemed in His own precious blood, those who are His beloved children by grace, by adoption, by covenant love, by the new birth. And to such He particularly manifests His goodness. And this loving kindness obviously first and foremost begins with salvation and redemption. When in His goodness He saves us from our sins, He forgives and pardons all our transgressions. He bestows upon us the pure righteousness of His own beloved Son. This love is a holy love, which means that our sins are punished, but they are punished in Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins, as Romans 3 reminds us in verse 21 to 26 particularly. And this leads us to sing, among other things, those wonderful words, accepted I am in the once offered Lamb. It was God who Himself had devised the plan. And this is where it begins. This is where it begins, my friend. And I just want to ask in passing, do you know this goodness of God in your life and your heart? Have you experienced God's goodness in salvation and redemption? This loving kindness is then manifested in so many ways upon the children of God, even in our darkest trials, in our days of adversity. I'm sure you will agree with me that it's an easy thing to say the Lord is good in our seasons of prosperity, when all is well and bright and enjoyable, and you're riding there on the crest of the wave and you're in the mountaintop. Everything is going well in life. You and your family are in health and in wealth and blessing, and we prosper in body and soul. We prosper in business. We prosper in community life and in church life, and the work advances, and there's much to encourage. But what when circumstances change? And they can change so quickly and unexpectedly. It's to be able to say, when that happens, God is good. The truth of our text needs to be embedded deeply upon our hearts, so that in the storms we know, come what may, whatever we're passing through, this unchangeable attribute of God stands sure and immovable. The Lord is good. My child has an accident. I lose my job. Finances fail. Health changes. Some unexpected dark providence interrupts the bright sunshine of my life. It's to be able to say, God is still good in such times. As Dr. Allison, I think it was, says, God is good. Always good. Satan is constantly challenging this truth. He's done that from the beginning, from Eden's garden. Hath God said, ye shall not die. God says, you will die if you eat of this fruit. And Satan says, you'll not die. And he makes it out as if God was withholding something of a blessing from Adam and Eve. How often does the devil come when circumstances are against us, and he says to us, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. God is not good. How is God good when he allows this to happen to you, or he allows this to happen to your family? Oh, my friends, Satan takes advantage of our limited knowledge. We don't know everything. We don't have the answers to every puzzling situation. We don't understand the reason why so often, and we fail to recognize that God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. They are much higher. We read in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. There's many of the ways of God, and we just don't find them out. We just don't understand. Think of the Psalm 77. Turn to it for a moment. It is an important psalm on this subject. Verse 19 of the psalm. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Down in the depths of the great oceans of this world, it's a place that we cannot trace. And so often God's ways are in the sea, as this text is telling us. It's in the great waters. His footsteps are not known, the way that God is moving. You know, it was a day of trouble for the psalmist when he wrote these words. Among other verses, you can think of verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. That shows us something of the trouble that he's in. And this led, as often it does, to the questions that follow on down there in the psalm from verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Did his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah, just pause there for a moment. Just think of these six questions that are being asked. Maybe you have asked them. Maybe you're asking them today. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he forgotten to be good? But note verse 10. After pausing and thinking, The psalmist said, "This is my infirmity. Problem lies with me. It's not ever with God. This is how I feel. This is my weakness. This is how I assess the situation at times." God never forgets to be gracious. He never forgets to be good, because the Lord is good. And never forget that God is on the throne. And never forget that the truth of Romans 8 and 28 still stands for today. It has brought encouragement to us many times, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Very quickly, I move on to my second point, and the last two will be quicker than the first. We have not only the goodness of God expressed here, but we have the mightiness of God. And it's given here in the phrase, in the term, a stronghold. Praise God, there's a stronghold, a hiding place in the day of trouble. A place that we can flee to and find refuge in and security in the storms of life. The word stronghold simply refers to a place of safety. Jehovah God is not only good, but he himself is that stronghold in the day of trouble. Do you know that this is one of the names of God? We're told this in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. The name of the Lord signifies the titles by which he has made himself known. It signifies that all that God is in himself, his attributes, his love, his mercy, his power, his knowledge, which allows man to regard him as that refuge. God is the stronghold of his people. Thou hast been a shelter for me, says the psalmist in Psalm 61, verse 3, and a strong tower from the enemy. This description sets before us a picture of a central fortress when in times of danger, the people of God can run into and take refuge in, like what the air raid shelters were in the times of the war, whenever the planes came across any given country. When we think of our own nation, there were places of refuge, and the siren was sounded, and the people ran, and they got into the place of safety before the bombing started. There's an illustration of this in Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9, and we'll look there at verse 50. Abimelech, we're told, went to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and took it, but there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city and shut it to themselves, and got them up to the top of the tower. And you can read the rest of the story about Abimelech here and what happened, but here's an illustration of it. There was this tower in the city, and when the enemy came, here's the place that the people fled to. Here's the fortress that the people got into. And in a higher sense, in a greater sense, this is our God. He is our fortress. He is our shelter. He is our strong tower. Think of Jehoshaphat. I'll give you the reference, and if you're taking notes, you can mark it down and look it up. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. Think of Hezekiah, 2 Kings 19, and the history there from verse 14 to 19. It's all about looking to God in the midst of great need. Oh, my friends, run to him by faith in your day of trouble. Hide in him, draw strength from him, rest and hope in him, receive comfort and the healing balm from him. O, safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thy blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages. I'm hiding in thee. Oh, the mightiness of the Lord, the one who indeed is our stronghold in the day of trouble. One final thought. We have the awareness of God. He knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Here indeed is the omniscience of God at work in the life of the believer. God knows you. He knows all of you in this service today and those that are listening in with us. Those that trust in him, he knows. And those who do not. He knows them who have exercised saving faith in him, his redeemed people who by faith have laid hold upon Christ the Savior. He knoweth them who are trusting in him in the day of trouble, as the context is here, leaning on his everlasting arms, resting in his unfailing mercy, hanging on his unchanging promises. He knows your fears. He knows your sorrows. He knows your trials. He knows your heartbreaks. He knows your sickness. He knows your loneliness. He knows all about your tears. He knows your dangers, your worries, your cares. He wants you to cast them upon him, casting all your care upon Christ, for he careth for you. This knowledge of God in our day of trouble is a knowledge that brings help and divine intervention to those that look for him. The fact that God knows you and the fact that God sees you and you're trusting in him, it brings God to your help. I finish with this in Exodus chapter 2. Just looking at this yesterday, the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. You ever sigh by reason of your trouble? These people did. They not only sighed, but they cried. And it says their cry came up unto God. Verse 23 of Exodus 2. And then we read that God heard. These are words I have marked out in my Bible. Maybe you've got them marked out in yours too. God heard. God remembered. God looked upon. God had respect. Those are wonderful words just to mark as you read the Word of God and meditate upon. And then he says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. He goes on to say, I have heard their cry. He goes on to say, I know their sorrows. And it seems to all culminate in the fact that he says, I am come down to deliver. And my dear friends, this is often our experience when we run to the stronghold who is our God. We come to this place of refuge. Whatever it is that we're passing through, we cry unto the Lord. And as God looks down from heaven, his dwelling place, he hears our cry. He remembers us and remembers us for good. He looks upon us. He has respect to us. And then he says, I've seen your affliction. I've heard your cry. I know your sorrows. And he says, I'm come down. God will come down. And he will come down to help you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to bless you. Oh, that we might have this truth, this text indeed written upon our hearts this day. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Thank God he knoweth them that trust in him. Take it home with you. Meditate upon it further. And let the Word of God be a blessing and a help. Whatever it is you're passing through, lean upon him. Let us pray. Lord, we commit our way to thee in the word. It has been a timely word this week. Thank thee for the opportunity to be able to share it with a few individuals who are going through troubled times. Now we pray that you will take the truth of it and apply it mightily, powerfully, to every waiting heart, to those that are in the trouble and to those that are entering the trouble this week, to those that may be facing trouble next week or the week after, someday in the future, it'll come. For there will be the days of prosperity when all is good, and there will be the days of adversity, the day of trouble, it will come. But help us to know in the midst of it all, and may this be our unshakable confidence, the Lord is good, and He is a stronghold. And help us, Lord, to trust in Him for Jesus' sake. Amen.